Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Katrina Keys. She is the owner of her own company, C&D HR Consulting. She brings her positive and supportive outlook and how she defines human resources as in making a difference. She's not doing it just to do it. And there's a lot more to human resources than most people know. I didn't even know. So she's also a corporate coach at the University of Houston, and she has volunteered at Single Mommies Can. Her son, which I was reading about, has been influenced by her, obviously, since he's at the University of Idaho. And you're saying that, you know, you focused on a vision and a goal with him. And it's cool because that's what this show is all about, focusing in, finding what your true purpose is and getting to where you need to go. Here's a direct quote from you. She says to remember to take each experience and learn from it while using it to prepare for the next experience. I want to say it again. She says to remember to take each experience and to learn from it while using it to prepare for the next experience, whether it's good or bad. You know, what can I get some? What can I learn from this? There's always something you can get out of it for yourself. And it's just a way to grow. So I love that. Katrina, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show. I really appreciate it. All right. First question. What turning point, what aha moment did you have in your life finding your purpose in the HR field? Because it is a very different field. Not everybody does that. Not everybody can do it. That, you know, that serendipity, that coincidence saying, I need to go in that direction.
So for me, it's really funny. My undergrad's in journalism. So I wanted to be a journalist. And then I realized I didn't want to be a journalist anymore. So I was like, what can I do? I have a communication degree. Like, what can I do with that? And I fell into HR, just in an admin aspect. And then I got an opportunity at a company to do corporate recruiting. And I was like, oh my goodness, I love this. Like, I get to talk and they're paying me to talk to people. So really for me, and that was a great way in, but really I think the biggest turning point for me was I had the opportunity to work in an organization that was relatively large and handle HR. And for me in that environment, I was like, man, I can really like impact lives. I had a young man that was in there on an internship and then we made him an offer. And I remember talking to him and saying, oh, how was your sister's wedding? And he goes, you remember that I told you that during orientation? I was like, yeah. And so for me, that showed me that I can make an impact on people's lives just by remembering one small thing. So my goal is to remember one small thing about every single person. And it may be minute to them, but when I remember it, they're like, you were really listening. So that was probably the biggest turning point for me that I realized something that I loved, human resources, I can still impact lives doing it.
Wow, listening. Listening is a skill. A lot of things that I've discovered for myself. You know, what you see in somebody else, you kind of see in yourself. I wasn't listening. I used to not listen. What am I having for lunch? I don't know what I'm doing at dinner, you know, and it's a skill. And you have to just shut off that noise and focus in on whether it's the person's eyes, the face, or turn away if you have to. Listen to what they're saying, because there is so much you can learn by listening. And that's not something we should teach that in schools. We should teach that in college. We should teach that with everything. Okay, so let me go. That's a very cool story. Now, HR field is not just healthcare and accidents. And for years, she's laughing because I think that's what people think. You know, they don't know. Now, maybe at some point, 25, 30, 40 years, maybe it was like that. I don't know. But now your tentacles are far reaching. You're everywhere. So tell me about your community, how, and the challenges you face in the HR world.
Yeah. So, you know, my community consists of startups and business owners and, you know, organizations and large and small, a variety for me. And so really the way I really interact and work with these business owners is I meet them where they're at. There's no judgment. You know, my goal is to consult and advise, not to tell them what to do. An example, I have a new client that is trying to set up a paternity leave and maternity leave. She doesn't know anything about that. She's like, I don't know anything about that. So she reached out to say like, hey, can you help me with this? So I think that's where people don't realize HR touches every aspect of the organization, from engagement to culture to policies and processes. to just, and even, you know, coaching and guidance and training and development. So for me, it's just, it's been a journey. And in my world, it's so broad. You know, everyone has an ideal customer, an ideal client. And my ideal client is a person that's willing to listen. Are they willing to listen? Are they willing to have the conversation? Are they willing to share their pains with me? Are they willing to say, I don't understand. Like, I don't know what this is. And those are the people that I want to work with, because that tells me that they're ready. They're ready to have the conversation. They're ready to grow their business. They're ready to move whatever project forward. And if they're not willing to listen, then guess what? They can be the perfect size and ready to write the check, but they're not a fit for me.
Well, you said, I don't know. And that's something that my dad taught me when I was really young. Sit in front of the class, raise your hand, because the question that you think nobody's asking, they're just too afraid. And I'd raise, I remember, you know how you remember these things? I don't remember how old I was, but I was little. Raised my hand, I asked whatever question, and suddenly I look behind me and everybody's hands are raised because they had that question. And I learned very early on, you know, those little phrases, little things that you're talking about to remember people, that made a huge difference in my life. And if I messed up, of course, I've never had that problem. I've never made any mistakes. Management always said, let's not talk to Phil. It doesn't really matter, because they knew if I messed up, it wasn't intentional. I don't think people do things to bat, you know, something you think to yourself, oh, that was stupid. You make a mistake. But I don't know is really important. And it will set you, it's kind of something that will hold you back without even saying it. So I really like that. Okay. Next one. What is something that has not changed that you would like to see change in the past 25 years in HR?
I think one of the biggest things is that whole seat at the table conversation. It's been going on forever, right? Like, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
HR has or doesn't have a seat at the table. What it, you know, I know what it means, but let's talk about that a second.
Please.
So it means that they're involved in the decision making and the conversation and things like that. How can HR not be? If they're involved with people operations, to even say, oh, do they have a seat at the table or not? So that's one of those things that I hear, and it just kind of makes me cringe. I'm like, like, what does that really mean? Do they have a seat at the table? Just because you quote unquote don't see them, they may be sitting behind the CFO, CEO, like a lot of HR people do, guiding, directing. I'm the queen of that. I just told a client recently, I said, my goal is not to take you over the finish line. My goal is to take you to the finish line. And the reason why I want to take them to instead of over, because I want them to get credit for the work. So I'm not there to get credit to shine. My goal is to get people where they need to go. And if that's me behind the scenes, behind the curtains, you know, kind of directing and guiding, I'm okay with that. So I think that's where there's a misnomer that HR is quote unquote not at the table. They may be at the table, but they may be at the table sitting behind the CEO and you just don't see them.
Well, I like that, because you're guiding and directing. For me, I always say empowering others empowers ourselves. And I used to be, in my old life, I was an engineer in the medical field. And I didn't realize it as much when I started, but I made a difference. Nobody knew who I was. I was in X-ray tubes. I'm not sure if you know what an X-ray tube is, but it's a medical part of a CT scan or an X-ray machine. And that thing is the engine. Now, I was the manufacturing engineer. So, and I was, you know, talk to people, got it fixed, troubleshoot, but nobody knew me. I didn't care if they knew me. The CEO or the radiologist comes in, they talk to the person fixing the equipment. I didn't say, hey, look at me. No, I got a good feeling that I made a difference, because I like that interaction of not going in, what's the old saying, going in like a bull in a china shop. I go in, if there's a problem, I sit down. Sometimes you got to leave the room and go for a cup of coffee at a restaurant or something, or go wherever to get the monitor and go, tell me what's going on. And I like that, because you can't change. You're not there to change that person. You're there to guide them in the right direction.
Yep.
That's perfect. Okay, this is a great leading question. I didn't even know I was doing it. So HR is not a department or a business. It is a philosophy. So tell me about your philosophy.
My philosophy in HR is a partnership and relationship building. And because so often people have seen HR in so many different ways. So any involvement whether I'm the CHRO for a company, or whether I'm consulting with a company, or working in corporate America, my goal is to build relationships and let people know that I'm approachable and that I'm available. Because there's a lot of people out there that are scared of HR people, right? They think, oh, they're here for this. They terminate people. They do this. They do that. But if I go in more open-minded and very approachable, like going in, I have conversations. I sit down all across the organization. I go down and in an old organization, I used to go down at break time and talk to the employees over break. And all of a sudden, they're giving me advice about my lawn and all kinds of wonderful things. It changed the conversations, right? Now, when something happened, they weren't scared to come to HR. People aren't scared to come to HR. They were like, hey, I'm going to go talk to HR. And they're like, and it just, I think that's the key for me is that relationship aspect, because then people see you as a human instead of just a department, right? It's, you know, because it's so much more. Because like you said, there's a philosophy behind why I do what I do. For me, it has to do with my morals and my values. It has to do with how I was raised and, you know, the fact that my entire life, my family was always like, give back, do this, volunteer. It was that whole life. That's what my family did. So when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and fell into HR, you know, my mom always says, you know, I need to do something talky. Like, you know,
not surprising.
But when I got into that, I was like, okay, how can I make a difference? And the more years of experience I got and the more interaction I had, I was like, people come to me. People tell me things that they don't tell other people. What is that? So I think that's what it's tied to, is that for me, it's a relationship and being approachable and available and knowing, letting people know that you do have a heart and you do have an understanding of potentially what they're going through.
Do more than what you're hired for. Give more than what they expect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you've got to make some money. You got to pay your bills. I'm not saying that, but you know, we were talking before this started that, you know, if something's not clicking, if something's not right, you're not looking at the check. You're looking at, you don't want to go in there all tensed up and you can't do your job. You can't be who you are. And that's okay for some people. And I can't do that either. If it's something that's not genuine and something that's not working, yeah, like I said, everybody's got to get paid, fine. But if I can't get up in the morning with a smile on my face and go to bed at night with a smile on my face, and when I, for me personally, I do prayer and meditation a few times a day, especially at night before I go to sleep, I want to be in that positive mindset. I don't want to look back on my day and go, ugh, I shouldn't have been, I got a big check, but oh, that wasn't good.
No,
it's integrity. It's something that you have to live with. And you want to make a difference while you're here on the planet. You know, when you always feel like, oh, he gave back when he's dead. I'm like, no. I want people to remember those little things. Like you said, you know, remember those little things. They might not even remember your name, but they remember, you know, I had this person, I think she was in HR and her last name was Keys, I think. I don't know, but she said this about me. And you always remember those little things.
Exactly.
And how many times have you don't know that you've made a difference in somebody's life?
All the time.
They're not coming up to you and going, Katrina, thanks for doing that. I mean, you could have, it sounds crazy, but you know what I mean? You could have saved their marriage. You could have saved their relationships. Mm-hmm. You could have saved something that they said to their son, their daughter, their parents. It doesn't matter. It's just that one little thing. And if you're coming from genuineness, because again, if you're being judgmental to somebody else, look at yourself first. Why are you saying that? You know, is there something in you? But I love that. So, okay, let's go to the next one. I want to do this one first. So well-being is a hot topic right now. I think well-being should always be a hot topic.
Yeah.
How do you define it? What do you think, what do you see that well-being should encompass?
So it's very interesting. I just did a presentation a few months ago about remote work and well-being and being, you know, with wellness. So it's kind of interesting. So for me, well-being has to do with your inner care for yourself, you know, taking that time, that moment to take that step back and breathe. I remember a time, like you said, when that we couldn't talk about that. If you weren't having a good day or whatever, I remember probably about 3 months ago and I had a busy, busy day. My morning got kind of out of polywork. It wasn't good.
Right.
And I got on the first call and, you know, people say, how are you doing? I was like, not good. Not today. Not doing well. But guess what? We have to schedule a meeting and I want to proceed. There was a time I wouldn't have done that, right? To be that honest in the middle of a meeting, at the beginning of a meeting. But the time's out for us not telling the truth, because when people go into those conversations saying, oh, I'm great. Well, and they're really not. They're really wounding themselves more because they're not allowing themselves to express where they're at. And you never know, that person may be they may call you later, reach out later. Hey, can I help you? You may not need their help. You may not want their help. But it's the fact that you were able to be sincere and open and honest. And, you know, it's like on that journey, like, you know, I've always been an authentic person, but to be even more authentic and be willing to share that piece of myself, I was really proud of myself, to be honest with you, because as an HR executive for many years, It's not something that you see. You don't see people saying.
You don't want the HR person saying that to somebody else.
I'm not doing it today. Like, right. Give me a minute. You know, but I think where the world is at today, based on everything that's happened over the past few years, people are more willing to say, you know what? I'm not having a good day today. But guess what? I know we're here to meet. Let's make it happen. And I think that is the part for me. Wellness is so important. Self-care, for about a year, I would spend every Saturday or Sunday, a whole day or half a day doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. If I had vegged or read a book, that's what I could do. But I couldn't. I wasn't allowed to clean. I wasn't allowed to volunteer. I did not allow myself
like
to do any of that because I realized I needed to heal. There were some things in my life that weren't going like they should, and a lot of emotional things. And I was like, I need to just chill out. Let me just sit back and do nothing. And I had to realize that it was okay. First, I was like, oh, I'm being lazy. Then I realized, no, it's not being lazy. I'm taking care of Katrina. And if I don't take care of myself, I can't be there for my son. I can't be there for my mother. I can't be there for anyone else.
For anyone.
I don't take care of myself. Because what is that old saying? You know, people are giving from an empty cup. Well, you can't give from an empty cup, right? You want to give people from your overflow. And that's what I've learned. I give from my overflow now, and I don't give from an empty cup anymore.
And people, I had something going on. I can't remember what it was at work. And I've always been, like yourself, very verbal, very, you could tell, you could feel the energy. And we're magnets, right? So I went in the office, and again, I don't remember what it was about. Somebody said, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Well, you're not smiling. You know, it was one of those, whatever it was like coming off me like a magnetic field. And again, I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure I probably shared it and somebody said, oh, you know, because you don't, it's not, you're not saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe I am not. You're not saying air your dirty laundry. You're just saying, I'm not having a good day. I woke up tired. I broke my coffee cup. You don't need to share the specifics. What? It's just a crappy morning.
Yep.
But then when you get rid of it and you're in a positive situation and people loosen up, kind of like telling a joke, suddenly the whole energy changes because they might not have had a good day either.
Exactly. I remember there was a post I put on LinkedIn because I had a really hurtful thing happen to an organization I was part of the day before, and it really hurt me. It really like made me feel really hurt. And I posted on LinkedIn really like, you know, sharing the story without the details, right? You know, right. Just sharing and telling people like when things like this happen, it's okay to stand up for yourself. And it's okay to tell people how you're feeling and how they made you feel. And I received direct messages, text messages, phone calls. Everybody's like, Katrina, you good? And I'm like, I'm good, but I had to get that out, right? Because and again, I had a couple of people, like you said, reach out and say, I don't know what you're dealing with and what you're going through, but thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, and so that's why I like to show up in an impactful way. You know, LinkedIn is my method that I communicate, and I really want to impact lives. And I'm told that I do. So I'm grateful for that. I've had people tell me, oh, I don't respond. I don't like them, but I read them all the time. I read your posts and thank you so much. And so that tells me that, you know, and I don't talk about HR. I don't talk about my passion. I don't talk about what I do on my posts. I just don't. I want to make sure that people know that when you see all the rainbows and the butterflies and the bunnies, that's not real world. That's not what's really going on with lives. Like, people are hurting, or people are having good days and bad days. And it's okay to have a good day, and it's okay to have a bad day. And it's okay to not be okay sharing it. But I want people to get to a place where they want to share it. And again, like you said, not airing your dirty laundry, but at least sharing what's kind of going on in their lives.
At one time, you'll appreciate this story. Great people I worked with at that, where I was at. And this one gentleman, Vladimir. And anyway, I went to the coffee thing to get my coffee and I passed him. I said, how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing great. He goes, how are you doing, Phil? I said, well, other than my parents and my whole family dying in a plane crash yesterday, everything's fine. He goes, that's nice. And he walked away. I got to the coffee. I couldn't stop laughing. And he's a really nice guy. So like an hour or so later, I'm in my cube. He comes over, like, and all his hands on his side going, what the heck did you just say? Mm-hmm. And I started laughing. Then we laughed together. And then anytime we saw each other, you know how when you're in a hallway, you just kind of do maybe a smile or a greeting. He looks at me and he just points his finger at me. And we just started laughing because it is, and it's not a bad thing. It's just we're not trained, like we said earlier, not trained to listen. You're so busy in here. realizing that there's so much support out there for you. Not, again, not to air the dirty laundry. Nobody's interested in what happened. But if you're in a bad mood, hey, you want to come over here for a cup of coffee? You want to walk around over here?
There you go.
Do you want to sit down? Hey, I got something funny. Let me tell you a story of what happened to my kid or whatever. It's just that little difference and that little twist that didn't exist when we started in the workforce. So I want to make sure I understand also, am I correct in assuming what you do now didn't exist 30, 40 years ago? Was it more, was it not restrictive, but it was more like, it was really like accidents, healthcare, what, there, was it more singular?
Yeah, HR was more like issues. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, the safety was in there, benefits.
Right.
That was a main piece of them. It's like, you know, oh, HR, you go to HR for benefits. The employee relations stuff that I do now, the coaching, all of that, training and development was kind
of. How did that come to be? How did that start going?
To be honest with you, I really don't know. It's almost like if someone realized that all these pieces are all over the company, let's bring them together. And what about the things we're not doing?
Right.
Kind of what you, and you're running, it's kind of like, you know, what, you know, before HR was human resources, it was what? It was another name for HR. And it was resources, right? It was personnel. It was personnel.
You're right. I forgot.
It was called personnel for years. And because that's what they felt like it is. Oh, you're just doing some admin work. Like you're, you know, oh, we had an accident. We need some benefit. That's it. Was not, the people part wasn't in there. And the other transition now from human resources, you'll hear a lot of companies say people operations, right? Because you are operating the business.
Yes.
In the people aspect of the business. So you hear that more and more. You hear companies going to people operations as well.
And I think I forgot personnel. Yeah, it was, there was, you went in, you got my first job out of college. You signed the paperwork. You did this and that. Oh, who are you? Personnel. And that was it. You never saw them again. That was it. You don't even remember their name. You're lucky if you ever saw them ever. And now I think it's however that came about and however said, like you said, they're a human. It's a resource of humans.
Yes.
And you are going to organize the humans. And you have to have that right focus because let's face it, a lot of people do have a bad taste in the mouth with human resources.
Yeah.
They are scared, or as my grandma used to say, I was scared. You know, human resource, oh my God, I'm going to be fired.
Yeah.
I did something wrong. And I did have a call from the HR person that was at our company. And I answered the phone. I go, am I being fired? What am I doing? She just stopped laughing. She couldn't stop laughing. Now, that's just my sense of humor. She goes, oh no, come in here. I need to talk to you about something. And that was fine. I, you know, but you do have that. It's almost like your parents punishing you.
Yep. Yep. It was. It's real. I mean, I worked at a company where HR person walked around with a red folder and the red folder meant someone was being fired. Well, I didn't know. No one told me, right? And so I never used the folder, but, you know, I always had a spiral to take notes, right? So people would start acting all weird. And finally, someone told me. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm like, I'm just taking notes. Like, I can't remember everything. Like, you know, I talked to so many people and people stopped me in the hallway.
Don't carry that color folder. Please don't.
No, no. And like I'm like, it's just my little spiral for notes. But
no,
it happens. I mean, it becomes, and then people don't. They really don't know what the role is. I've been in organizations where they're like, employees were like, oh, fix my benefits. I'm like, let's talk about this. Like HIPAA, pre-HI.
Like,
I can't call. Well, the other person used to. I said, and it's illegal.
Yeah.
I was like, that is illegal. But I run into organizations where there are HR people in, there are people in HR roles that are not HR people.
Their personalities, you mean?
They didn't grow up in HR at all. They just got placed in HR.
Oh, just a person, like me.
They could have come from administration, ops, and they're like, oh, you're the HR person. So I coach someone now that's what happened to them. And so they're like, okay, this isn't my world, but help me with this world. So you'll see more and more HR people that are coaching HR people that are in those roles and they didn't grow up in them.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to ask you, that was one of my questions, is what does your coaching consist of? You just answered that. So,
well, that's part of it.
Okay, I also tell me more.
So I also have another client that's a vice president, not in HR. So I normally focus on people in leadership role within organizations. I can do business owners, but I'm not really, you know, that's not normally my focus. I've done executives my entire career from being in HR and being able to coach the CEO, CFO or whatever, C-levels. But I, you know, really focus on people in leadership because I get it. And I understand that in corporate America, leadership is rough, right? And people that are moving into exempt roles, people moving into leadership roles. Those are people also I want to coach because they, you know, it's different. When you go from an hourly employee to an exempt level role, it's not the same. It's not the same conversations you're having. Expectations are different. And, you know, my coaching style is really laid back. You know, I listen a lot and I take a lot of notes and I guide, right? I don't say, do this, do that. I'm like, well, tell me how you would answer that question if your manager asked you that, or tell me about this or that. I have a client right now that is looking to move into a higher level role. And she was like, I want to work on my leadership skills. And I laughed because when we started this journey, it was like, let's focus on you as a human. You know, let's get to know who you are. The second part is how you show up to the leadership team. And the third part was work on her leadership style. So it's funny that she's like, she got there, you know, on her own. The other day I was like, you know, do you know why you got here? She said, yeah, you. I was like, no, ma'am. No, you got here because you've been committed to this journey. And you showed up to every session. You were very honest with me, very sincere. And she said, but you allowed me to be that. I'm like, well, I'm glad. Because we couldn't have been where we are today when we started this journey, I think 6 months ago, if it wasn't for the fact that your willingness to be open and honest with me. And so for me, it's really, sometimes it's just having a conversation. People, you know, you love your significant other, your sister, your best friend or whatever, but if they're not in a leadership role or if they're not in certain places, they really, or a business owner, they really don't understand and they can't really give you the guidance that you need. Because they don't understand, they love you and they want to understand, but they don't. And so for me, I use a lot of scenarios and real life examples and share stories because then people get to see like, no, there's nothing wrong with what you said or what you did. You know, my new client, something she said, I was like, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, that's great. And let me get back to you. And she was like, I could have done that. I'm like, yes, like it's okay. If you're not in the right,
you don't know.
Yeah, people don't know. I mean, she wasn't in the right headspace. She was very upset about something that the manager said. Okay. And so I was like, give yourself a bit of grace. But so often we as leaders don't, right? We don't take that time to give ourselves grace. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not absorbing what you said. Your feedback was really critical and hurtful. And she was like, I'm like, just give a definite response time. Say, thank you for that. By the close of business on Monday, I'm going to circle back with you. And she was like, I can say that? I'm like, yeah. But I think it's that giving yourself grace, right? Realizing that we all are different. And, you know, and she was like, I am an emotional being. I was like, and it's okay. I was like, you're a leader within an organization. You're human. You're going to have good days and bad days. So for me, coaching is more building that rapport and that relationship. Everyone's coaching style is different, right? I'm not the right coach for everybody.
Right.
But I found that people that are in leadership roles that are, you know, whether they're new or existing or whatever, that may be having some turmoil within their organization, I'm a good fit for them because I'm able to really listen and give real examples of real experiences of other executives, which is what people really want and need. They need those, you know, the pictures. They want those examples because otherwise they're like, well, why should I do it this way instead of that way? And, you know, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, that is a good thing that I did. And also I'm real big on giving them a reply. Like, you did a great job. And they're like, oh, I'm like,
they're not used to that at all.
I will stop in coaching sessions and say, give yourself a, you know, pat yourself on the back, right. Give yourself applause. And they're like, what? Right. I'm like, you got to do it. We can't move forward.
Yeah.
And I do that on purpose because we don't do that. We don't stop as leaders to say, you know what? That was good. Like, that was good. And I did good in that meeting. But so that's what I've just determined from my coaching style. Again, I had to get there, right, to determine what's the right kind of fit for, you know, what's the right client for me. And how do I show up for them?
Well, I marked a note down, not formulaic. Not every person is the same. Not every person has this. You don't know what's going on in their head. And sometimes I really don't want to know. But
no,
you know,
and learn that.
Yeah, but you could tell by their expression of their. You learn these things, and some of these things I believe you just kind of have. Some people do. Sometimes it's not bad or good. It's just like when I used to do technical support, my old job. I'd have people from overseas and I'd have to figure out by the voice. And I didn't even know I was thinking that way. And then texting started going. You can't tell anything from texting or email. Forget it. Video call like we're doing here, that's different. But human contact or a phone, because then you don't know. One of my troubleshooting things, if I knew that this person I was talking to had this feeling that they weren't going to listen to me, I'd give them three things. I'm saying three. I put four fingers up. Oh boy, I'm Jethro from the Beverly Hills. Oh, I grabbed the fourth grade. So anyway, the four things I knew would take like half an hour, 45 minutes. And they call back in 5 minutes. I knew they didn't do it. Now, I didn't dump on them. I just knew, okay, let me tell this person. Let me tell that. Let me make sure. I'm not here to correct them. I'm just telling them this is what's going to probably happen. And most of the time, I was right in that situation. Most people don't do that. But formulaic is not one scenario, not one whatever fits everybody. It's impossible. You can't do it. And to have that insight of sitting down and let them talk, and you just, you know, mark down your notes, figure it out, because you don't know what they want. And that's one thing. So when you're coaching, or maybe, I don't know if it's me, HR, you'll understand what I'm saying. I never like when I say, so what's going on? What do you need from me? It's like, well, it's broken. What'd you do? Nothing. What do? I don't know. I like somebody going up to me and giving stuff. Do you have sometimes people that do not know how to start that conversation with you? How do you guide them to kind of like look introspectively and then get back with me?
So really for me, I start from personal. I just spend some time getting to know them, sharing my stories. Like you talked about my son, you know, he just transferred to the University of Louisiana Monroe. That's not online yet. I want to say that.
What year is he in?
Like, so that's one of the things. Most of the people that I coach know about my son. Like they know that he plays college football. So for me, that's how I bridge the gap right there. I start sharing a piece of myself. Because if you don't share a piece of yourself and get them to share some more of themselves, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to be robotic, right?
Yes. You know?
And I'm not big on giving homework. So some coaches will say, oh, go do this. Well, that's not really my style. Let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Let's have the conversation. Or if we don't have time for the conversation now, I make a note, you make a note, we're going to come back to it. But let's focus on, you know, whatever's going on in your head right this second. Let's focus on that first. But really for me, it's just sharing a piece of myself, drawing them out and building that trust. Because like I said, one of my clients that I've had for about 6 months now, she was not having it. The company reached out to me to coach her. She was like, why are you doing this? Like, you know, she seemed to me very defensive at first.
I don't need coaching.
I showed up as me. Like I just showed up as Katrina. And I just, you know, getting to know her and like, what's the plan? I'm like, well, these are the three things that I think that would add value for you. But let's just kind of see how it works, right? We went from that to I love you, right? Like, how's your kid doing? Like, right. You know, like, tell me what's happening. And so it became a connection and a friendship. So they shared some personal things that are going on in their lives with me, right? Why? Because there was a trust built, and you can only get trust if you show up authentically. And you share a piece of yourself. Like I tell people, like, you still got to keep some to yourself, right? You have to keep a piece. But I have been telling stories about my kids since they were little bitty. So there are people from years ago, they're like, I don't remember the story. And so I found that's something that people can relate to, right? And this particular client is like, I don't know anything about college football. I don't know anything, Katrina, which is okay, right? But she's still super excited, right? She actually watched the game because she's like, I wanted to watch because of your son. So look at that. I pivoted her. I'm sure her husband was in shock. Like, why are you here? Back in game. But again, I ignited something different in her because I built relationship and rapport with her. So I think that's the key for me. It's just really not really like, okay, these are the things that we're going to talk about. Like I show up in the conversation, you know, let's kind of get to know each other. Let's share some stories. And if they give me something, they're like, hey, this happened. I'm like, okay, that's great. But I don't just stop there because normally there's what's the history, you know? It's like, okay, you sent me this, but tell me the story. That, you know, this is just a situation, but how did you get to that situation? And so that's the thing too. I do ask a lot of questions because I found that when people verbalize their concerns or what's happening, sometimes guess what? They get light bulbs. They're like, oh. So I asked, you know, I'm asking the questions and guess what? They're getting there on their own. All I'm doing is igniting the spark to get them there. That's a lot of times, everyone's coaching style is different, but that's my coaching style, is igniting the spark, not giving answers, you know, but igniting that spark. And sometimes they get down the road, I'm like, you got there. They're like, did it. But they're like, you? I'm like, no, I didn't do anything. I'm just here to listen because, you know, their spouse, their best friend, whatever, may be listening, but they may be listening preparing to respond, right?
Right.
I'm listening to listen. I mean, even years ago, I took a listening class because I'm like, I don't think I'm listening as well as I should.
Yeah.
So I took a course. I took a course on listening because, you know, so often we're, you know, we're listening to give an answer, to give a response.
Yeah.
You should just be listening to hear, because sometimes people share little, it's just, sometimes it's a little bitty tidbit of something that really is what's the root of what's going on in their life. Right.
And when I do these interviews, I told you before it started, if I'm looking down and making notes, or I'm checking to make sure I got the right question, or so I'm still listening. But it is a training that you have to do for yourself. I like that when you were talking about, you can give them the door, but they have to open it and go through it. I always say your inner knowing knows. You're the only one who really knows. And sometimes I can't remember the particular word. Maybe you can. You know, when you're saying something and right when you're saying it, you're like, oh my God, I just figured it out.
Like deja vu?
No, but that would be a good one. I wish I had more of those. No, but like a realization. You're like, when you're talking, I'm talking to you as an HR and I have this problem and I'm like, I just answered my own question.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and so you really know, and sometimes, not everything. Sometimes if you verbalize anger and you continue it, you attract it, which is most of the stuff we do is garbage. But some of the stuff that we're stuck in, if you express it in a genuine manner and you go, you're like a therapist. And you're like, okay, give me a sec. So what do you think, Katrina? I don't know. Tell me it again. You know, they're looking to find the answer. You don't really have it. You have the answer from your point of view. That's not the way I do it. Your intentions are good. So you stop talking. I'm Jewish and my mom she knew Yiddish, if you've ever heard the word Yiddish. Okay. So my mom grew up in Yiddish school when we were little. I'll never forget this. It's a Yiddish word called Vermach Demoyel. Vermach, gotta say it that way, Demoyel. It means shut up.
Wow.
And I taught this to a friend of mine, because I used to go as the engineer. He would be the suit and he'd be talking to the guy and who's this guy? And one time he looked at me, he goes, Vermach, he screwed up the whole saying, but I almost laughed. He goes, Vermach Demoyels. I'm like, the guy's going, what did you just say? And I said, it's an engineering term, don't worry about it. But the whole thing is sometimes you just have to listen. You don't, and it's an excellent point, because I'm listening, but I'm really not listening. I already got my answer and we're not marking it down. It's like in college when you're taking notes, you ever open an old book and you've got notes on the side of where you don't even know what it's talking about. You say 3-4. What? I don't even know what you're talking about. So I learned that as I got older, I'm like looking at these, you know, physics books or something or whatever. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Just toss it in the garbage. It doesn't mean anything. Or, you know, it means something at that time. So I love that. And sharing positive stories is so important. So you could do, because that's where you grab them. Because you go, da 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 da. Oh, by the way, this is what happened to me. And you're like, oh, this person's human. No kidding. Because if you come off just doing the same old thing, I went to one of these classes, you've been a million of these classes, and a person like started rolling up their sleeves. All right, let's get the work done. You just turned me off completely. That's an old sales gimmick. I just stopped listening completely. And they didn't do it intentionally, but that's how they knew how to do it. So I like the genuineness. That really does make a difference. Okay. Now, we're getting towards the end here, but we could end up talking for a couple of hours. You want to be my permanent guest once a month? That'd be fine with me. We could do like a 5-minute thing. Anyway, what is the one positive message that you would like to pass on to our conscious community listeners?
Relationships matter. You know, building them, investing in them, spending time building the relationship and really getting to know people, it really matters. Because you just never know how that one relationship you've established will impact that person's life, impact their family, impact them financially, mentally, spiritually. You just don't know. And, you know, people talk about networking, they talk about, you know, and I get it, all that's important. But if you're networking, not focused on building a relationship and really getting to know people and bringing what I call your authentic self to the party, then guess what? It's none of the rest of it matters. Relationships are key for me.
I would rather have one good friend or acquaintance or somebody I could talk to than 500 anchors around my neck. Yeah. You know, you can't move forward when, you know, everybody's like, oh, I got 500 friends. No, you don't. You don't have anybody. And it's that because friendships or relationships, or as you say, relationships in general. And I'm not saying it's bad, but it takes work.
Yes. A lot.
It does. Yes. And as you weren't the same. I was different at 18 than I was 21. When I became 25, I was a totally different person. Then I became 30. And there was just some people, it's a little different, a plus and minus here and there. But you're not the same because your values are different. Your experiences are different. Your assumptions are different. The way you communicate and the way you've learned. And as my grandma used to say, live till 99. She said, the last time you stop learning is when you're 6 feet under the ground.
Yeah.
She never said she stopped learning because always something to learn more about yourself, to move forward and to be better at consciously communicating, better at human resources. And, you know, now that I think about it, human resources are basically everything we're doing. We're resourcing ourselves as being human. And I think it's really important that this is something I've told some people. I have a couple of students I'm doing. And I said, if you cut the skin off, cut everything down, you just have the bone, no x-ray of anything, not knowing it's a man or woman, you wouldn't know the difference between anybody anywhere.
Nope.
You know, the only difference that makes us unique is our fingerprints. Not one finger. That's amazing to me. Fingerprint is alike. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
What is that saying? That's because each person has a purpose. Each person has got something to do. And you're intricately involved with what's happening. And I just love that. That's why I was looking forward to talking with you, Katrina. It's been excellent conversation. You're going to be here once a month. But I really appreciate you coming on the show. I really do.
Thank you.
And to my conscious community, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.